Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we share expert advice, quirky stories, our thoughts, and much more to help you have a better sex life than you did yesterday. I'm really working on this intro thing. Let me know what you think. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com for our full podcast archive. We are rapidly approaching 250 episodes for your listening pleasure. You can quickly find episodes that you most want to listen to by going to the Sex Index, listed at the top of every page, or you can sign up for our free mini courses over at pleasuremechanics.com/free and let us deliver a curated selection of our best sex advice and our favorite podcast episodes straight to your inbox. Again, that's pleasuremechanics.com/free. When you're ready to master new erotic skills, check out our premium online courses and don't forget to use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the course of your choice. So today's episode is inspired by a dream I had last night. I have a lot of wackadoodle dreams. It's one of my favorite things about my brain. And so in the dream last night, I had a job where I would get in this very interesting helicopter and fly over the ocean to this rich person's mansion in California, I think I was. And I would spend a few days exploring different fetishes. And then my job was to write about them. And in this particular dream and that particular assignment, my job was to explore puppy play. And when I woke up from the dream, I was thinking about depth of fetish involvement. Meaning, we often talk about, like, what's your fetish and what fetishes are you interested in exploring? What kinks are you interested in exploring? But we don't often talk about how deep you want to go into particular fetishes or into particular fantasies. And in my dream, I was enjoying certain elements of puppy play. I really liked having sex where I was like growling and licking and pretending a little bit to be kind of more animal-like. But I wasn't so much enjoying eating my food out of a dog dish and having to pee on the lawn. And when I woke up, I was lying in bed and I was awake in the middle of the night. And I was thinking about this idea that we often think about sex as having an insatiable quality to it. And I like the word insatiable. It's kind of a fun word. And it was also the title of my favorite porn movie when I was a teenager, the 70s porn movie starring Marilyn Chambers, called Insatiable, was my favorite movie. So I like the word, but I don't like the concept that if you kind of start down any sexual path, it'll just get bigger and bigger. And it's kind of this addiction model we use to talk about sex. Like, if you start into puppy play, you're going to end up collared outside living in a doghouse. But some people want to go that deep into any particular fantasy or any particular fetish. And so we need to have a conversation that allows for the exploration of different kinks, of different fetishes, different fantasies, while acknowledging that every individual person will find their limit in these different explorations. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That some people might be interested in exploring a little bit and then they reach a certain point and they feel like, I'm done here, or I've explored this to its limit, or right in this section, I'm really turned on. Beyond this, I'm a little bit uncomfortable in a way that means I don't want to go further into it. Because with kink and with fantasy, there's often a lot of discomfort, or there's this part where it's really exciting and interesting and uncomfortable because you want to go a little bit further. But then there's also a feeling of I'm actually done. And those are sometimes hard to distinguish.
Right. And so puppy play is this kind of very specific one that came up in my dream. But let's talk about bondage, for example, because that's a pretty common fetish, kink, fantasy. And when you think about bondage, some people just want to be a little bit tied up in bed and have their hands restrained while they're doing things that they do in their everyday sex life. So your hands are restrained and you're getting fucked, or your hands are restrained and someone's going down on you. And just that little bit of resistance and being able to pull against the bonds feels just naughty enough to make sex more exciting and more thrilling and adds this other dimension. While other people then want to explore rope bondage and tying fancy knots and creating whole body harnesses out of rope. Some people then want to go into suspension bondage, where they're using safety points on the ceiling and suspending their lover in the air like a human chandelier. Right? And so how do you say yes to one of those experiences without opting into the whole package? Or how do you start exploring as a couple and take baby steps into each specific area of exploration, and then be able to communicate where you find your individual stopping points? Because one person might want to swing from the ceiling like a chandelier, and the other person might not want to. And if you're in a monogamous relationship, again, we talk about the Venn diagram, so you have to constantly be looking at where your two interests and consent overlap and be happy playing in those realms, instead of feeling a lack for where your partner's not meeting you.
Yeah, it's really complicated. But the thing is, you never know where you're going to land if you haven't explored something before. And I think, with, as you said, with all sex, there's always this underlying fear that, for many people, there's an underlying fear that once you start, you won't be able to stop. And this is kind of a cultural myth, I think, about the danger of sex and sexuality and its sinful nature, that it draws you into this hellish spiral or something.
Like those wrist cuffs might be a gateway drug to suspension bondage.
Right.
Once you start, you don't stop.
And, you know, that might be the case for a very small percentage of people, but for most people, it's just going to be another interesting flavor that they're layering onto their sexuality. And it's a totally reasonable concern, but it's one that is worth talking about and then maybe allowing to relax or dissolve while you try something and just agree to one step at a time as a couple. And also make space that somebody might be more interested in a particular fetish or fantasy than another. And that's also completely normal. But there is an art to finding what you're both interested in. And sometimes you only discover that by going a little beyond and then having to come back again and
Okay, so let's talk about, there's two things that I want to go a little deeper with. One is what to do if one person has interests that go beyond where your Venn diagram overlaps. How do you deal with that in a monogamous relationship? And the other is overstepping your boundaries to find out where that boundary is. So let's start there. So the image I often think about that with is the electric fence. So when you install an invisible fence for a dog, usually the way they figure out where the boundaries are is by being shocked a few times.
It's a lot about dogs in this episode.
I'm still in the puppy play. But I think people understand that you put the buzz shock collar on your dog, he approaches the fence a few times and eventually learns where he can go in the yard and where he can't. Mm. And with our own boundaries, I think we're very hard on ourselves if we overstep those boundaries and only find that out by being a little shocked. And we need to have a little bit more allowance for figuring out where our boundaries are at any given time by brushing up against that discomfort and then owning that and not projecting it onto your partner. Because I think especially when it comes to kink, if you, say, do a bondage experience and you have the wrist cuffs on and the blindfold on and you are having sex and you really enjoy that, and then the next time you have sex, you add ankle cuffs. And your partner thinks, great, we're just going to add another little layer and this is going to be even more exciting. But when you're, and then 4-point bondage, all of a sudden you have a panic attack. Because not only can't you move your arms, you can't move your legs, and you feel really stuck and your hip starts cramping and you have a bit of a panic attack and you have to safe word and stop the experience. It's really easy in that circumstance to look at your partner and say, you messed up. You pushed me too far. I'm never doing this again, and get kind of angry and defensive from that place of feeling a little shocked, a little hurt, a little like you went too far. I think instead the attitude we have to adopt for kink is to just own that experience and say, I just figured out something about myself. I really like the wrist cuffs, but the ankle cuffs make me feel way too trapped, and I just found my limit. And so we're not going to do that again, but the wrist cuffs are still a go. And that just takes a certain level of emotional maturity and kind of a calm response to finding that boundary, which I think a lot of us don't have practice with. Because anytime your boundary is overstepped, it's someone else's fault. But in kink, you really have to have ownership over your own experience. So everything, especially if you're playing with top, bottom, dom, sub. Like I remember in my early days of kinky play, we found a lot of my partner's boundaries and it was all my fault as the top. But I was new at topping too. And in most couples exploring kink, you're both new to these roles. And it's not just the responsibility of the person in the dominant role, the person being the top, to make everything go right. So you really need that open communication.
Which is really emotionally mature and challenging. But there's also this other layer of often with kink, there are other sexual skills that you're bringing into play. And if you are new at them, of course they're not going to be really excellent or really skilled. I mean, they're just not going to be skilled. You might be awkward, and there's also a learning curve. So it's a really complicated, advanced experience to begin with your partner. It feels challenging because I feel like there might be moments where you're learning spanking and maybe it doesn't feel that great that time, but maybe if you keep learning, you might be able to do it really well soon. I don't know. It's, you got to be forgiving, but and really verbal about what feels good to you, but also, yeah, allowing for it to be something that you can learn together. It's very complicated.
You keep saying that.
I do. I feel
sex
a little
is complicated.
Well, kinky sex especially, because yeah, there's so many issues of consent. You're playing with more intense experiences, having to speak your consent honestly in moments where you're a little bit altered from all the experiences. It's really.
So this is why, and I actually wasn't even going to bring this up, but this is why when we were designing the Kinky Sex course, and we designed that course a couple of years ago because people kept asking for more instruction about kinky sex. And there's only so much we can teach you online when it comes to kinky sex, because a lot of them are physical in-person skills. But to even get to the point where you're learning to tie a rope harness or you're swinging a flogger, you need a lot of skills in your relationship about communication, a certain amount of language and vocabulary to even begin those explorations. And so I designed that course as 25 date nights, 25 guided explorations that really walk you in step by step in how to even talk about kink, how to start exploring power dynamics, and how to embody those things together. So no matter what your fetish is, you can take those first steps into your kinks safely with the right relational attitudes built in. And so that course is available on our site, pleasuremechanics.com. Check out the Kinky Sex Mastery course. We actually just dropped the price because we wanted it to be available to more people. And you can use your 20% discount off of it. And you get 25 guided date nights, which will give you so much experience in taking these baby steps into all different realms of kinky play together. Because when I hear from so many couples, I guess, and I think what this dream was prompted by was the images we have of kinky sex are often very extreme. You know, it is like the person with the collar on all hands and knees, or, you know, person swinging as a human chandelier, or really intense dom-sub relationships, 24/7 lifestyle kink where one person is your sex slave. Like, it's all these very kind of extreme images which some people get into, but far more people are excited about dipping their toes into all these different pools and finding the specific elements that turn them on. And so when it comes to domination and submission, some people just want the physical experience of really being pinned down and the use of force on their body while having sex and having rougher sex. That might be what you want. Or you might want really intense dirty talk where someone's calling you names that in the light of day in your normal life would be really offensive, but when you add arousal and those name callings, it gets really excited to be called a dirty slut. And so you have to figure that out. Like, what are your elements of kinky play that can add to your sex life, knowing you don't have to sign on for the whole kit and caboodle?
That is hilarious that we were doing this whole podcast and didn't think about sharing that we created this. Chris mostly created this course, and it is... This course is really brilliant, I have to say, in terms of how it guides people through really figuring out those specific... what specific experiences will turn them on.
I learned by trial and error, right? Because I've been in the kinky community now for, 15, almost 20 years, okay? Aging myself. But it's been a while, and I've talked to so many couples who, show up at the kinky convention or place a big online order and get all the gear and then start beating each other. But they don't have those foundational skills in place to start doing kinky play. And as I developed the course, it turns out that these skills will actually benefit your sex life, kind of no matter how kinky you end up getting. But the language of, different styles of domination and submission, you can't just say, I want you to dominate me. It's like, what does that mean? Do you want someone to be really rough and treat you like a brute? Or do you want them to be kind of knightly and have this cavalier sense of romance? That's also a style of dominance. But if you just say, come in at night and ravage me, you might get 6 different options and you only want one. And so how do you pin down specifically what you want? And so much of it is about getting specific and building those skills. But in my dream last night, I had signed up for this job and I was at the time exploring puppy play. But the next weekend, I was supposed to be someone's sex slave, and that was my gig for that weekend, and I was really anxious about that in my dream because I didn't want to do certain things and I didn't know how to vocalize that. And I think when we're invited into these experiences, as you said, there's this push-pull of there's an excitement and a turn-on and an arousal, and that brushes up right against fear and disgust and...
upset.
Yeah, and am I going to be able to do this right? And what does it mean if I want to do this? Mm. What does it mean if I really like it? All these emotions can swirl around, and no wonder it's easier to say no thanks.
Mm.
And stick with the sex that you're having and make your partner wrong for even sharing their desires. How instead do we have a conversation within relationships that's I'm willing to try it. Don't know how I'm going to feel about it. Let's take baby steps into it. And of course, again, as in sex, so as in life, these skills come up too when your partner wants to do something new. I really want to start going on long trail hikes and spending 3 days in the wilderness. And if you're used to spending your weekends on the couch watching football, that sounds really overwhelming. But maybe you can say yes to a half-hour hike.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe you can say yes to an hour-long hike if there's snacks at the end, how do you baby step it yourself into the experience and be open to, someday I might be on the Pacific Crest Trail doing a multi-day pack-in hike, and maybe that's not for me. And it's easier, I think, in the rest of our life, because Charlotte really likes bike riding. I hate bicycles, so I encourage her to go ride bikes with other friends. And we've even talked, if you want to do a longer bike trip, I'll drive the car and be there with dinner and the campfire at the end of your ride. We can find ways of negotiating that. But in a monogamous relationship, I can't say to you, you really want to be... dominated by a big brute. That's not me. Go ahead and find someone else, honey. It's not that simple. And some people do open up their relationships, and some people open them up just for kink. You can have a bondage partner that you explore rope bondage with but never have sex with, and that's your specific agreement within your relationship. But for most of us, we are dedicated sex partners. And so when I hear something you want that I can't give you, it triggers inadequacy and feelings of loss and feelings of not being enough. And so again, it's just easier to avoid those conversations and stick with what we know and with what's working. But the problem there is we fall into ruts. There's no novelty. There's nowhere to grow together, and it gets boring.
So the other option is to take really small steps, as you're saying, to begin to build your skill sets and your comfort with exploring new things. And I really encourage people to try that, of just really small steps of whatever that would look like for you, and see how it feels.
With the right emotional attitude. right? And so you have to be mature enough and confident enough in your sexuality to say, I'm willing to try this bondage thing. Don't know how I'm going to feel about it. Let's take baby steps into it. Let's communicate the whole way. And if it turns out you really like it and I don't, well, at least we've tried it and now we can try something else. And maybe you can read bondage erotica, you can look at bondage porn, like maybe we'll find another outlet for your fascination with bondage, but I'm not going to be that outlet. And that might be an outcome. Or we both might discover it really turns us on. How aroused you get makes me really turned on, and we found something new to do together. That's a total win. And it just completely recharged our relationship. Right? And so to hold these multiple emotional outcomes before you've even tried something, I think does take a certain level of maturity, but...
And bravery and courage and openness and kindness in dealing with not being really proficient at something. That's one of the most vulnerable things for people, to be like, we're in bed and I don't really know what I'm doing. And that feels really awkward.
Yeah,
and I'm going to try it anyway because I'm going to get that you are going to be kind with me. We're experimenting. This is where playfulness is so important. It's like this curiosity and we're just exploring and playing. We're not trying to get it right and performing, being an excellent, suave lover. We're just playing. We're like figuring this out. And it's a really different energy, but it can kind of free you up a little bit more. And we can go in and out of those. And, you know, there's something about being imperfect in how we try and have sex and letting that be okay.
Well, this is why, and I say in the beginning of these episodes recently that I'm playing with a different language, I'm starting to reject this idea of better sex all the time and we're going to make you the perfect lover. And, you know, it's so easy to try to do that for marketing. Like, we have all the answers to make you the perfect, best lover and have the most amazing, explosive, multi-orgasmic sex every time. But it's a lie.
Well, I think we have a lot of those skills that can make that possible, but I don't know if everyone's going to be able to do that every time.
It's just that not that guarantee, and it's not a linear progression towards perfect.
Yes.
And our culture is obsessed with that. Like, do this and you'll have flat abs in 6 weeks. Like, no, you won't. But if you do these suggested exercises, you'll start building your strength, and you might find something new. You know, I think it's just a rejection of the quest for perfection and the quest for excellence all the time, and instead being in this messier human place of curiosity and playfulness, and I'm open to new experiences, and that's when your sex life is transformed.
When there's authenticity and vulnerability and...
Yes, and curiosity and playfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to explore puppy play, you don't have to buy a leash and a dog bed and the dog bowl and all of a sudden make your lover into a dog. You can start by growling. If you want to explore bondage, you can just start by holding your partner's hands down. You don't even need equipment. Like, just restrict their movement and see how that interaction feels. And you build these skills incrementally, baby steps in.
And notice how you feel and have conversations and...
Yeah, and even threesomes, like people write to me all the time, how do we have a threesome? What are the first steps towards threesomes? And the first steps towards threesomes are talking about it, and then maybe actively talking about a third person in bed while you're just having sex with your partner, but you imagine a third person's there. That's a really safe baby step. There's no fallout if you don't like that third person there. You just stop talking about it and zip, they're gone. So how do we use our creativity, our imagination, and as you said, a skillful approach with playfulness and curiosity to start exploring this vast world of kinky sex, all of the different fetishes people have, without having to go all the way every time. That was my dream. That's what I was up last night thinking about. And I thought... What a great way to have a conversation about this. Because I think, again, often when we talk about fetishes, we talk about what's your fetish and not how far, how deep you want to go into any particular fetish. And if we give ourselves permission to know there's a whole spectrum there, and so the whole galaxy you get to play in is all of the different options, and then within all of those options, there's all these different layers of depth. And you can pick and choose and mix and match, and you find your own constellation within that galaxy that's going to turn you on at any given moment. And that's how it becomes infinite. That's how it becomes... You can have different sex with the same partner for 50 years if you have these attitudes of
playfulness, curiosity, and the emotional maturity to deal with different possible outcomes.
That is a choose your own adventure.
All right. So if you want skilled assistance with this, check out the Kinky Sex Mastery course. I had kind of forgotten about it until we started talking about it, but it's a great resource.
Wait, and also the erotic spanking mastery is amazing. Yes. And that is an amazing skill that I wish everyone had to bring into the bedroom.
Spanking is a really misunderstood experience. It can be such an incredible turn on and never even has to involve a moment of pain, or can involve a lot of cathartic, intense stimulation. There's a whole range there. And yeah, we did a whole course just on erotic spanking because we think it's such a fun addition to so many people's sex lives. Check those out at pleasuremechanics.com. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off one or more courses. Some people write to us, can we use the code more than once? By all means. And email us with any questions. You can be in touch at pleasuremechanics.com. We always love hearing from you. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.